Harbour Hustle, where we dig under the surface of companies that serve Harbour District and the surrounding towns and villages to find out more about the people behind the company. Are you ready? Let the story begin. Hello, I'm your podcast host, Martin Robson. Welcome to the Harbour Hustle, where today I will be chatting with Rupert Turton from Action Coach. After the show, you can catch us on marketharbourbiznetwork.co.uk/podcast, where you can find a transcript of today's podcast, all the links I mentioned, posts you can share on social media to spread the word, everything you need to know if you'd like to find out more about our lovely sponsors and local charities. Before we dive in, let's hear from today's lovely sponsor.
Are you struggling with tech jargon? Allegiant Web Services speaks your language. We demystify AI for small businesses and create websites that work as hard as you do. Tune in to our Allegiant WebWise podcast, where we break down how modern digital technology impacts your business. Allegiant Web Services, making technology work for you, not the other way around.
Welcome to this episode of Harbour Hustle, where I'm delighted to be chatting with Rupert from Action Coach. Hi, Rupert.
Hi, how are you?
I am very well. Very well, thank you very much. I feel suitably exercised because I've been doing a certain amount of running around fairly recently.
Yes. Very nicely summarised.
I can see now that you two are in fine shape. I say you two, I'm not in fine shape, but you clearly are. So how do you actually manage to keep yourself fit?
Yeah, it's an interesting question, actually. Not one I expect to start with either, Martin. So that's a different sort of interview, isn't it? I don't actually deliberately try and keep fit, to be honest. I suppose there's sort of three things we do. We have a dog. So 6 o'clock every morning, I'm out walking the dog before work, which I find a great way to start the day. It gives my brain time to work out what I should be doing. Then cycling is my sport. Given any opportunity, I'll get out on a bike for a couple of hours. And then actually just recently, I started doing Pilates as well, because I used to be a mountain biker, which is a pretty good all-round body workout. But as I've got older and I've discovered I don't bounce as well and keep breaking bones, I decided that it might be time to do something a bit more suitable to my age. So I've got what they call a gravel bike, which is a sort of hybrid between a mountain bike and a road bike. And what I found is that the upper body doesn't get a workout, so I've started doing Pilates as well, which actually is great. It sorts out all the joints and everything, gets them moving. So yeah, that's pretty much my exercise regime, mainly because I enjoy it, though, not because I feel I have to.
That's fantastic, and a couple of useful tips for me as well. I like getting out on the bike as well around Rutland Water or whatever, but I haven't tried Pilates yet. Perhaps that's something that I need to add into my regime as well.
I have to say I'm recommending it to everybody.
Fantastic. So anyway, I mean, normally we start off by saying, tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do, you know, in terms of a professional sense, and what you like to do outside of work. But we've got the outside of work bit done already, which is fantastic. So let's go into the pro bit.
Yes. So work-wise, as you said in the introduction, myself and my wife, Angela, we run Action Coach Oakham and Kettering, where we work with business leaders to help them grow their business. We look after an area that runs really from Market Harbour down underneath Kettering, then sort of follows the A1 up to Rutland and back down again. As a business, I suppose there's sort of four things that we do, really. We start by making sure the business foundations are in place and that the business owner has a clear goal for what they're trying to achieve. They've got financial control and consistent high quality delivery within their business. We then look at sales and marketing and what differentiates that business in the marketplace, their marketing, sales and client retention to grow the business. And now if you think about it, they've got a viable business, haven't they? Because they've got the ability to deliver the business and they're generating revenue. So next we look at how to scale that business by putting the processes and systems in place to run the business and hiring and leading as well, great staff, which makes it much more attractive to a potential buyer. And then we can start to look at where the business owner wants to be, start to remove them from the day-to-day management of the business and much more into a leadership role to really get the business doing what they want the business to do for them.
Okay, sounds great. I mean, is there a typical size of business that you would work with?
Oh, it varies dramatically. Everything from sole traders right up. We call it executive coaching, where we work with bigger corporates as well. So that there is no single size that we target. I mean, realistically, I like to work in technology markets because my background's been in IT and I'm quite comfortable in that space. But engineering, I just is a great area for me. With Angela, it's she likes to work with professional services businesses, so accountants, lawyers, I don't know, architects, those sort of business are much more of her bag. And again, it's because of her background. She had her own accountancy practice for many years as well. So she's it's the environment she knows.
That makes sense. So I suppose the skills that you're talking about, you know, the growing the business, removing yourself from the business, all those sorts of things are generic across industries, but having that industry background makes a difference.
Yeah, it helps you understand the person you're talking to. I think, yeah, the reality is, as you say, a business is a business. It's amazing how many businesses, when we start with them, say, oh, yeah, you don't understand our business is different. And yet, fundamentally, the basics of running a business are the same, whichever business you're in.
Yeah, that makes sense. So how did you get started with Action Coach then?
Yeah, interesting question. So my career, I had 35 years in IT and IT management. I was working for Hewlett Packard, and I decided it was time to move on to the next career option. Managed to get redundancy from HP. It was also about the time that our kids left home and went to university, so we decided also we wanted to downsize the house that we're in, and we decided we didn't want to live where we were. So we decided Oakham was where we wanted to move to after looking around the country for a number of years. And then it was, what was I going to do? I'd always assumed I'd just continue what I was doing, but actually I'd realized over time that I wanted to do something a bit different, something a bit more aligned with my values. And at that point, Angela spoke to one of the local Action Coaches and said, Rupert, you'll really look to talk to these people, you'd be good at that. And to be fair, I was quite resistant at first, but obviously I had a conversation, and I suppose the rest, as they say, is history. So here we are, 5 and a bit years later, doing Action Coach.
Right. Okay. And just slightly off piece from one of the things you said on there, what made you choose Oakham?
We liked it. It really is that simple. We walked the Dales Way. No, sorry, the Cleveland Way was the one we were walking. So if you ever do the long walks, you have a company that moves your luggage from hotel to hotel while you're walking mm-hmm. during the day. And so obviously that you then have to coordinate with them. So, you know, we'd arranged for them to start moving our luggage on the Monday. So we said, we'll just do the touristy thing on the way up. So we stopped at Empingham, just down the road on Rutland Water, started looking around, came into Oakham and said, yeah, actually, we could both live here. And we came back, I don't know, 6-7 times just to make sure we made the right decision. But and having looking all over the country at the same time as we were going different places, traveling, holidays and things like that, and kept coming back to Oakham. So yeah, that's how we made the decision. Probably took us 4 years from first visiting to actually deciding to buy a house here.
Interesting. I mean, it is a nice part of the world. I can't argue with you about that.
Well, the whole area is as well. I mean, as a walker and a cyclist, there's so much beautiful countryside just in the area. We're quite lucky in the territory we look after as well.
Yeah, I've got my cousin lives on the Scottish borders, and when they come down to stay, for a cycling point of view, I mean, they're talking about road cycling rather than, you know, mountain bike or whatever. But there's so many country lanes you can just cycle around, and you don't feel like you're going to get mowed down anytime soon.
Yeah, and actually that's because years ago when I first started mountain biking, that was the reasoning. It was too dangerous on the roads down south to be out on the road. And it took me a long time when we moved up here to get to grips with the fact that the country lanes have virtually no traffic on them and are great for cycling on, which is how I suppose I moved more one of the reasons I moved from mountain biking to gravel cycling.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it is good. So, I mean, just going back to, you know, coaching and the services that you offer, would you say there's anything that people just don't really think enough about when they're starting to deal with someone like yourself?
Is it they don't think about? It's almost they need to think about. Actually, one of the biggest challenges we have is that people think they know everything there is to know about running the business, or more likely, they don't want to admit they don't know everything there is to know about running a business. And so when we get to, when we start to talk to us, there's an awful, usually an awful lot of resistance about actually, what can you tell me that I don't already know about running my business? So over time, they start to realize where the value comes, but you've got to build that. And some people are just always going to assume that they know everything there is to know about running their business. Let's face it, some of the people we're working with have been running their business for sort of 20, 25 years. So they're obviously doing something right along the line, aren't they?
Yes. Yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, there must be. But I guess the flip side of that is, you know, the environment in which we're working, whatever industry you're in, is never static. You know, what was happening 25 years ago is not happening now, most likely.
Yeah, yeah.
And therefore, you know, you've got to be open to change, I would imagine.
Yeah, and we have a coaches call every morning and join it as often as I can. And we were talking about that the other day. And we were actually talking about running seminars. And one of the coaches who's been doing this for a long time was saying in the early days when he ran a seminar, he'd have 140 people turn up. And he said these days it's almost 10% of that. The whole world has changed quite dramatically. And yet the rise of social media and online presence has grown exponentially. So, yeah, it's a very changing marketplace.
How do you keep up with that yourself?
The great thing about Action Coach, one of the reasons we liked it in the first place, is it's not just me as a coach on my own. It's a whole community of coaches, and we all work with each other. So we have the, as I said, we have the call every morning. We get regular training. We have regular speakers talking about areas of expertise. So I mean, there's no way I'm going to know everything about what you do, Martin. There's just too much to know, and I can't keep up with the technology. It's the same with accounts. It's the same with HR. Every park has so much you have to understand these days to be compliant that one person just couldn't know it all. But so it's that regular update of your knowledge. I also read a lot as well. So probably at any point in time, I'll have two books on the go, one audio and one that I'm actually reading. And I listen to a lot of podcasts as well. So yeah, education is pretty constant most of the time.
I'm pleased you listen to a lot of podcasts. Hopefully this will be one in amongst
Don't worry.
I'm a very avid podcast listener as well. We have a canal 5 minutes away from the house, and that's my kind of downtime during the day is just stick some headphones on and listen to a podcast as I walk along the canal side.
Well, if you want a few recommendations, do you listen to the Diary of a CEO? That's always good.
Yeah, I mean, I dip in and out because it's very interesting. The length of podcasting, I mean, I've tried to keep this one to around about half an hour for people. Obviously some of his can go on an hour and three quarters or whatever, and you think, very well, nice. That's not how it's supposed to be, but you can't knock how successful, you know, Stephen Bartlett is as a podcaster, so he's obviously doing something right.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, Diary of a CEO, High Performance Podcast, the BizX podcast is really good for businesses as well, so there's quite a few out there that are worth listening to.
Fantastic. And I'll just chuck one in as well, which is The Intelligence by The Economist. It's 25 minutes and it has three stories that are in the news.
Yeah.
Or no, I should say they're newsworthy, because generally two out of the three are not in the news. I mean, our news is very filtered before we get it.
Mm.
So they have stories from around the world with different perspectives. And I quite like that, to have a kind of, you know, world appreciation of what's going on.
Yeah. Cool.
Okay, so just coming back to you and you know, your journey, etc. Do you think there's something that you wish you'd known that you know now? You know, you could tell a younger Rupert, "Hey, take this on board."
Loads. I would have thought. Yeah, I think probably the one I'd reference. I think I used to worry too much about the future and forget to enjoy the present. So I've learned over time that the end goal is not everything. It's only actually a moment in time when you achieve something, but you need to enjoy the journey to get there, or it's, if you like, it's all suffering for one moment of happiness, and then you're back to the suffering again. So you've got to do something where you're enjoying the journey. I'd say that applies to business as well, by the way, because we all know how uncomfortable building a business can be, and if you're not enjoying the process, you're probably better off staying employed as well. I do think if I focus too much on what I want the business to be, I would just be pretty useless as a coach. in reality as well. And luckily, it turns out I love coaching. I love talking to people. I love learning. And I think the best thing is seeing our clients improve week by week and year by year. It really is a lovely thing to see going on.
Yeah, that's a great point. Talking to the last guest we had on, and she was saying the same thing, that enjoyment you get from seeing a positive effect on a client is immeasurably more rewarding than a monetary reward for something. Because when we look to judge our businesses, sometimes the criteria to use that we judge by is quite often economic of one description or another, and yet there's so much more to happiness than that.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. And actually, successes when you're working with clients. I had a client yesterday was talking about how one of his team was explaining urgent versus important, which is a time management principle that we use to one of his other colleagues. And I'd never met these guys, either these team members before, only briefly sort of shake their hand and say hi sort of thing. But I had taught urgent and important to the client and also his managing director, who had obviously then taught it to the team. And it turns out they're now using it day by day, which is one hell of a kick to get.
Yeah, that's fantastic. And for everyone listening at the moment, I'm always encouraging, of course, to join in. Let's have some feedback. What do you think is the difference between urgent and important? Let us know, and then we'll see whether Rupert agrees with you or not.
You'll get so many definitions. We do have to very carefully define what urgent looks like as well.
Yeah.
I won't do that now. That could take up the rest of your podcast, Walter.
Okay, so moving on. Is there anyone that you would say that you admire? And if so, why?
Yeah, various people for different things, actually, because it rather depends what area you're talking about. One that springs to mind from a business perspective is Elon Musk, who I know is not universally liked, but I have to say he announced back in 2001 that his vision was to get humans to Mars. And at that point, nobody then even thought of doing anything like that. It really was something beyond most people's imagination. And yet, why here are we 25 years later, he's actually pretty much looking like he's going to achieve it. And I just think as a demonstration of somebody having a vision and faith in their vision, that is just so strong. And bear in mind, it nearly bankrupted him at one stage as well. And so it really is one hell of an achievement to get to where he was. And I've got a lot of time for people who have that sort of vision. Don't say I agree with everything else about him, by the way, but as having a vision and making sure he sticks to it, I think it's absolutely brilliant.
No, that's a really interesting point. And it's an interesting character to pick as well, because I think pretty much everybody, listening or watching this will know who Elon Musk is, of course. Yeah. And like you say, he divides opinion, but you make an excellent point there about vision and faith in vision. So
yeah, and he does it multiple times. I mean, also you look at electric cars. Without Tesla, would we have the proliferation of electric cars we have now?
Yeah, and they came, like you say, out of nowhere, because they obviously weren't an established car manufacturer.
Yeah,
in an industry that had very, very big players.
So, yeah.
Okay, switching it something. Anything that you still want to learn?
Oh, loads and loads. So I think the older I get, the more I realize how much I don't know. God, if you want to type down to specifics, I'd like to get back to learning the guitar. I started about 15 years ago, but life overtook me. And then I made a decision not to do it now. There are other things that I wanted to focus my time on that are more important to me. But one day I will go back to teaching myself guitar again. So I guess, that's probably the thing I'd want to learn. But yeah, there's so much else that I need to learn as well. I know there's so much I don't know.
Excellent. Yeah. I mean, I'm always saying to people that I think there's more opportunity to learn now than there ever has been. The time that I've been alive anyway. So it is that case of what do I choose and how do I fit that into daily life and that sort of thing. And I think you make a really good point as well about if you're going to learn something, making sure you've got the time to learn it to your satisfaction. Otherwise, it just ends up being a frustration rather than an enjoyment. Again, coming back to what you said before.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's basically plan your day, isn't it? So actually, what are you going to do at each part of your day and plan your week? You know, actually, what are the rules you live by? So, you know, when are you going to be at work? When are you going to be at home with your family? When are you going to do your sports? It's all those things. It's not just about managing your work day.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Okay, so let's move to confession time then, Rupert. One of the biggest mistakes you've made in business, and what, if anything, did you learn from it?
Well, picking the biggest one's going to be the challenge. Yeah, I've loads and loads. It's not been a tale of continual success, that's for sure. I think the one that probably had the biggest impact on me over time was not documenting conversations with my boss. I'm not going to say where, but what I learned from that was not to work for that sort of person. Be very careful about the sort of people that you're working with. I suppose I've always been quite old-fashioned with the way that I manage teams. I've always thought, actually, if it goes well, I always give the credit to the team. If it goes badly, it's my fault. This guy was the complete opposite, took the credit for success and found someone to blame if it went badly. I mean, basically, he was just lying, which pretty unpleasant place to be at the time. But more to the point, it didn't really align with my values either.
Fair enough. Unbeknownst to both of us, it seems possibly we were working for the same person at the same time.
Different conversation, but we're not going to name him now.
As much as I can empathize with your feelings. Yeah. Let's flip it around then and talk about your proudest business moment.
Loads and loads, actually. That's also a really typical question. I'm not the sort of person who dwells on the past. I don't really look back. I'm very forward focused. But, you know, you think it'd be things like delivering of a project or getting a sale. But to me, they're just points in time. I think it's more the sort of cumulative pride in the difference I've made to loads of people over their careers with what I've been able to help with. Actually, I go beyond careers as well. I'd say also in their private life, you know, where I've been coaching is probably a bit of a grand term from what I did. But, you know, with the kids doing sport, it's getting them out on their bikes and I suppose giving them a new sport, teaching them how to do it. I think those are the things that really make a difference. It's not one moment that means everything. It's lots of little moments that cumulatively have that sense of pride about them.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's a really good answer. I mean, I know someone turned it around and said the same, well, you tell me yours. And I'm thinking, hang on, I asked the questions here. Yeah. So it really put me on the spot.
Yeah,
but it was a very, very small moment. You know, it was just a client who was convinced they could do nothing with technology whatsoever. Mm-hmm. And I ended up getting them to do something fairly basic.
Yeah.
But the sheer enjoyment that they got when they realized they'd done it and they'd managed it, yeah. You know, it was just off the scale. And just seeing that pleasure was, yeah, it stuck with me. So,
Yeah.
Okay. You said you read a lot. I mean, one of the things on Stephen Bartlett's podcast you referred to earlier, you know, Diary of a CEO, they get a previous guest to throw in a random question for a future guest. So the question I'm going to ask you comes from a lady called Carmen, who wants to know, is there a book you would say has particularly helped you with your business?
Just one book, or can I do a couple?
You can do a couple.
Yeah. So there's a book called Sumo by Paul McGee.
Okay.
Which is a really easy to read book, actually. And it's a very simple way of explaining an attitude to life. Myself and Angela, we reference that quite regularly between us as well, some of the terms in there. But an excellent book that I reckon everyone reads. I think possibly in terms of managing your day, Eat That Frog by Brian Tracy is a great book. I get all my clients to read that at some point. Mm-hmm. And then the one that actually I very rarely recommend this one to anybody, but there's a book by Yvonne Chouinard, I think that's how you say it, who owns the clothing brand Patagonia. And the book's called Let My People Go Surfing. And it's all about how he built the business and how it's a very value-based business that he's got as well. So it's all about flexibility. He started the business because he wanted to go rock climbing. And so his business, basically, he'd run it for a few months, then he'd go rock climbing for a while, and then he'd come back and run the business again. And he wanted to extend that out to his staff as he ran the business. But what it did do was give validation to how I thought a business should be run, as opposed to the way I've been brought up in the corporate world as well. So it was, that was a brilliant book to read. That was a last Christmas present for my kids, actually.
Okay, fantastic. And I particularly like that because I haven't come across that one. Yeah. So it's a new one, which means is good. Always say to all the listeners, you know, we'll put the links in the show notes afterwards, so we'll reference those. I'll get those after the show and make sure that we get them in there, so that if people want to learn more about any of the three books you've mentioned, then they will be able to.
I'll bring my copy down for you to borrow at Market Harbour Business Network tomorrow morning.
Fantastic. Can't say fairer than that. Now I want, and normally I take a couple of weeks to get these podcasts published, you know, edited up and all the show notes and all the rest of it. But I realise now I've got to get this one broadcast this afternoon, so it's out there in the public.
Well, before sure, tomorrow, just tell everyone it's for the November meeting.
Yes. So last few for you, Rupert. I mean, if you weren't doing what you're doing, is there something else you think you might be or you would love to?
No, not really. I suppose what I'm doing with coaching was the change of career, wasn't it? So I came from an IT background to coaching full time. I think the next, it will probably be something more in the charity sector and more giving back, but it still needs to be challenging. I don't think I'm ready to stop yet. So I want something that, it's not just something to fill my time. I want something that keeps me interested, keeps me challenged as well.
Yeah, and I mean, charity, you know, obviously, it's an ongoing challenge there to get the I was going to say rewards, that's the wrong word, to get the resources that they need, be that economic or otherwise, in order to, you know, obviously, be able to do as much good as possible. So, I think that'll be something that would suit you from what I understand. Any hidden talents you want to share with us?
Not sure I have any at all, actually. Yes, I'd love to say there was, but I feel that's a dead end question.
In which case I will move swiftly past it.
Yeah.
And ask about, okay, so if people do want to know more about you, where do we find you? You know, websites, socials, etc.
Yeah, so actually the easiest thing to do is to Google Action Coach Oakham, which mm-hmm. will bring up our website, so have a good look at what we've got on there. And then I'm obviously, LinkedIn is probably my preferred social media platform for business. So I'm Rupert Turton BDF on LinkedIn. So I'd have to rely on somebody like you to remind me how to search that on LinkedIn. But also if you search Rupert Turton Action Coach, I'll probably come up in any case.
Yeah. And as I've said a couple of times, you know, we'll have that link on the website as well. So, you know, if people don't want to go through the hassle of searching, they can just click on the link and there you are. You'll be there. Fantastic. Okay. My final question is always, have I forgotten to ask you anything?
Oh, good question. Not that I can think of, but I wasn't really structuring my answers. So I was sort of going with the flow. I'm sure as soon as we finish, I'll think of something, but I can't think of anything off the top of my head.
Brilliant. Okay, in which case, I've done a reasonable job. You've been a great interviewee as well. So, listeners, if you want to know more about Rupert, then as I said, take a look at the website. This will be on Spotify and in due course on a video platform as well. But for now, Rupert, thank you very much.
Thank you for having me. It's been great. I've thoroughly enjoyed it. Thanks, Martin.
You've been enjoying the Harbour Hustle, inspiring talks with local entrepreneurs. Please take a few seconds for whichever platform you're on, Spotify, Apple, YouTube, wherever, to give us a thumbs up, a 5-star review, or a like, and please subscribe so that we know you're out there and so that you get to know about future shows. If you or someone you know would like to be a guest on the show, please pop over to marketharbourbiznetwork.co.uk/podcast for all the details, where you'll also find a summary of today's show, a transcript, some goodies, and all the links mentioned today. There's a